The scripture reading that God gives to us this evening is found in Proverbs 3, Proverbs chapter 3. Our specific text is going to be found in verses 5 and 6, but the application of the ways are ways in which the Lord directs us and paths is going to be found in the following verses. And especially take note that in verses 13 through 20, wisdom is one of the fruits of trusting in Him. And wisdom is described as a female in those verses. Proverbs chapter 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil. It shall be health to thine evil, and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Strive not with a man without cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways, for the froward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Verses 5 and 6 of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust in the Lord. That's something that God calls us to do, not only when we're having struggles and trials and difficulties, but that's something that God calls us to do all the time, in every situation and circumstance of life. The call to trust is a call that God gives to us because our inclination, our nature, that sinful nature that we learned of this morning, is what we're inclined to want to use. We want to think that we can figure it out. We want to think that we can take care of ourselves. We want to think that we can do it. And if that's not the ditch that we fall into, then the ditch on the other side is the ditch of our thinking that the terrors and the situations of life are just too great for us, and we're so weary of it, we want to just despair. Two ditches. Trust. Trust Jehovah. That's the answer that we must take a hold of instead of thinking we can figure it out and by our strong will we can accomplish it. And that's the answer to our despairing, because the way is just so hard that we think it's impossible. Those are the two ditches. The right way is trust Jehovah. Agape wants to trust humans. It hopes all things. It believeth all things. But our catechism, our Heidelberg Catechism, in Lord's Day 34, when it treats the first commandment, tells us this. This is idolatry. That instead of or besides, not only in place of, but also next to, the one true God who has manifested himself in his word, or in any other object in which we place our trust. To trust others, to trust humans. Sometimes we can hear the cry, I don't trust him anymore. And I almost at that point am inclined to say, good. I know why you want to. Why it's your desire to. But God calls you to trust Him and Him alone. He's sure. He's steadfast. Happy. Not just only blessed, but happy is the man who chooses Israel's God to be his aid. He whose hope of blessing on the Lord his God is stayed. So put no confidence in princes or men, nor for help on man depend. He shall die to dust returning, and all his purposes shall end. Trust Jehovah. Beautifully simple. Horribly hard. trusting Jehovah. What does it mean? How are we to do it? And what's the fruit that's to be derived from it, as our text and its context teaches us? To trust is to set our hope or our confidence on someone. The result of that kind of confidence and trust is a feeling of security. The idea of trust is communicated in the words lean not on or lean. I sat down in the chair. I trusted I could lean on it and it wouldn't collapse. Trust is to put one's confidence in someone with an assurance that they will provide security and freedom from fear. The necessity of trusting is because we are creatures, dependent creatures. So the very nature of a dependent creature, God alone is independent. We depend on all kinds of things from outside of us. We're needy. So whether it's the need for provisions like air and food and all kinds of other things, or whether it's the need for protection and security, we as creatures, dependent creatures, have all sorts of needs we cannot meet. And that inability to meet those needs is what occasions the concept of trust. I'm going to lean on something or someone. Now God says, don't lean on men, humans, including and maybe especially yourself. That gets the emphasis. Lean not on your own understanding. Don't trust your thinking. You've heard it said, feelings are real, but they're not the source of truth. We're not to trust our feelings. But also, we're not to trust that we got it, that we've got things figured out, that our perspective is the exact correct perspective of everything. Lean not on thine own understanding. That's our nature. Our nature is that I've got it. That's why the very next verse, verse 7, says, be not wise in thine own eyes. Now put that together with what we learned this morning. Depravity is so total in every part of me except for the heart that God has regenerated. And my understanding is extremely limited. I see things only from the viewpoint of the earth. I see things only from the viewpoint of an ant crawling through the grass. Our perspectives and the amount of knowledge that we might have, it is again extremely limited. No matter how great our IQ, our knowledge. So often we believe we can figure things out. We can do it. We can tackle it. We can fix it. We've got a problem. I can do it. Lean not on thine own understanding. Be not wise in thine own eyes. How many times and how many ways does he have to say it to us before we get it? To trust means that we are aware of needs and dangers and threats, troubles. Second, trust means I acknowledge I cannot, my inability to provide the strength and the wisdom to meet that need, to provide that protection. So one, I see the dangers, I see the needs. Two, I recognize my inability. Three, trust is I'm aware of the presence of another who can provide me with exactly what I need to meet those needs, to answer those fears, to face those problems, to provide security. See the problems? See my inability? See that there is one who can provide that for me? And then fourth, to trust is actually to receive the strength, the provision, the answer to the need, the provision of the strength to be delivered from the danger, the security, so that I am confident of the care and protection. Now, here we are in church on a Sunday. So everybody knows who we're supposed to trust, right? Now, if we go out in the work world and we go out there tomorrow and we face a problem, then what? We have a difficulty, emotional or psychological or physical, because we've got a pending doctor's visit or other issues going on. Then, okay, now, this is what God says. Look up. Trust Jehovah. And again, at the risk of being repetitive, just think of the wonder of that name. If I am needy and cannot provide, if I am dependent, the name Jehovah says he is self-sufficient and independent. He is exactly the opposite. In him is all things. Now remember, this Jehovah is God. And remember what the name God means? He has every perfection that there is inside himself. Infinitely and eternally and perfectly. He's got it all. That's why he is Jehovah. That's why he's self-sufficient. That Jehovah, as the I Am, self-sufficient one, doesn't change. Why do we change? Because we're constantly needy. Our circumstances are always altering. We're creatures of time. He is above time. He doesn't count time. He's unchangeable. We change constantly. Our feelings, our knowledge, our emotions. Now God says, trust Jehovah. And if the first thing we think about Jehovah is that self-sufficient, unchangeable one, the second thing that we have to think about and know about Jehovah is this. He is the one who in nothing but amazing grace is pleased to say, I have a relationship with you. I have established a relationship. He says, I can promise I'm never going to leave you. Anybody else may say they want to, but they're going to. But I'm never going to. And my love for you, because that's what that relationship is, it's a relationship of the tenderest care and love, is so perfect, is so full of care. I know your every need. You may be in a relationship with somebody who wants to know your every need or thinks they know every one of your needs. But God says, I know them all. And I know every need perfectly. And I promise to care for you. I love you. I've chosen you. I've picked you as mine. I've saved you. I've performed the work that was necessary in order to take away all of your sins and to make you holy and righteous and acceptable in my sight. I've established a permanent love relationship. Now, trust me, he says. Is anyone more worthy? Has anyone else earned that trust on your part more than he? None. In his love, confide in that relationship. Rest. So they shall, this trust is life to thy soul and grace about thy neck. Life to thy soul. Those of you who are married can remember your first love. And in the joy of that love, you were alive. You knew life. Everything glowed. To trust him is life to your soul. Life-giving. Life-experiencing. And what is life? To know him and Jesus Christ, who's earned forgiveness and salvation and righteousness for you. And it's grace about thy neck. The root word, the root meaning of the Hebrew word grace is beauty. You women put on a necklace or a scarf and earrings to match. Men dress up with a tie. Grace about thy neck. That which really enhances and beautifies you is your knowledge of that relationship that he has with you and your ability to trust him. We can say we trust him, but we can go through life and that's when we have sleepless nights because we know we're supposed to, but we're not. Because the dangers and the troubles are so overwhelming and our thoughts just race within us and we can't sleep. We may have difficulty falling asleep, or when we fall asleep, we wake up and we're not yet time to wake up and we can't fall back to sleep because the mind is running or our sleep is troubled. Look at the next verse, 24. When thou walkest in thy way safely, thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. I know who cares. How many times haven't you prayed, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord, Jehovah, my soul to keep. You dare say the next? And if I should die before I wake, I know the Lord my soul shall take. I can lie down and sleep in peace. Trust Jehovah. How? What's the manner? The manner is, first of all, with all thine heart. With all thy heart. It is so easy to sit here and say, yep, I'm going to trust Jehovah. And it's so easy for us to say, yes, I know the answer. I got to trust Jehovah. But to trust Him with all our heart and not make that just words, but to make it a very sincere, deep reality. To trust Him with our heart when He tells us that His first and great commandment is that we love God with all our heart. There He goes back to that heart. Heart is the source, the center of our being. Verses chapter 4 of the book of Proverbs, the last part of verse 23, the familiar words, for out of the heart are the issues of life. Everything comes out of that center. Just as it's the center of our life physically, we describe it that way, so it is spiritually. Well, start with your heart, not just with your head. Begin to look at why He is worthy of your confidence and why you can rest in Him, because you know His relationship to you. Why love Him with your heart? Because He first loved you. Think about how much He loves you and what that means to you. Delve into the knowledge of the truth of His love and in the knowledge of His relationship with you. Then develop a relationship with Him because of His with you. That's the heart. So that it's not just words, but it becomes actions. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to put my confidence in Him. Not when my strength fails, then I'll lean on Him. First I'm going to try. First my wits. And first my willpower. No. I'm going to trust Him with everything and with our heart. Then it makes sense that He adds, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. How are we to trust Him? Trust Him with all our heart, and in all our ways acknowledge Him. Our life is a path. We're moving. We're making progress. We're going from one thing to the next. And in all of our path, and each one is our path, what we do at home, what we do at school, what we do at play, what we do during this hour, what we do in that hour with this class, and what we do with that class, and what we do when we play sports, and what we do when we go to work, and everything, and what we do when we come home. And how we conduct ourselves at home with everybody who's so familiar and who knows us so well and where our buttons are. Acknowledge Him. Acknowledge means, can you see Him? Can you see Him right there? Can you discern His presence? To be godly, I am living with the awareness that God is right there. His face is ever upon me. Not only watching, testing, checking, but especially the light of His countenance is shining upon us. His favor, His every indication of His attitude of love is shining from His face. He cares. Just the way His face is toward us, I'm aware of that. People may be angry at me, and they may be shouting at me, and they may have right reasons or they may have wrong reasons. It doesn't make any difference. The conflict is horrible, but there's His face. And I see it. He's right there. And He never releases me from the obligation to love Him. Oh, I'm so busy defending myself. I'm so busy ready to give an answer to them. I'm trying to tell them they're wrong. And He says, wait a minute, look up. Love me with everything you have right now. And then regardless of what your mood is, regardless of all the irritations you faced, you don't have the right to come home and say, okay, now everybody get away from me. I need a break. Now I'm going to give a vent and I've got the right to tell you what's... No, wait a minute. Love Him. Trust Him. He's right there. Because you know, sometimes we have to be aware of His presence. But sometimes we ought to be aware that there's another person right there too. And that's the devil. And he is pushing. And he deliberately wants you not to be aware that he's right there. He loves to be a sneak. He comes in sheep's clothing. He says, forget about me. Don't look about me. Don't look at me. Don't think about me. But I'm going to never leave you. Especially because you're the elect of God. I'm going to try to dirty you. I'm going to try to ruin you. I'm going to try to frustrate you. And I'm going to throw all kinds of things in your path. Because if you think there's family members and other people that know your buttons, I know every single one of them. And I know when to push them. The devil and Jehovah acknowledge Him in all thy ways, in every situation. The teacher gave you a D plus, and you thought, man, I should have had a C minus. Not fair. Except usually when the ones who get irritated is because they got an A minus and they thought they should have got an A. Do you see him? Right then, right there. Somebody doesn't pay you what they owe you. Do you see him? The kids left a mess again for mother to take care of. Do you see him? So and so made it pretty plain that they don't like me. In fact, they made it pretty plain they hate me. Do you see him? Acknowledge him in all thy ways. But it's not just, oh yes, God is there. But to acknowledge him means more than just to be aware that he is there. Because God, the relationship that God has established with you isn't just that He's there. The nature of that presence of Jehovah in your life is this, that you can trust His wisdom and you can trust His love. Trust Him. Verses 9 and 10. You get a paycheck. You get a bonus. You get something for nothing. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled. We owe him, and we want to show him our gratitude, not with what's left over, but first, because he's given it all to us and more beside. Oh, but I'm saving up for, and I want to be able to pay off. Yes, honor him. Honor him with thy substance. Verses 11 and 12. Acknowledge him when there's sickness. Acknowledge him when there's conflict. Acknowledge him when things aren't going your way. Acknowledge him with a thorn in your flesh. This verse, 11 and 12, is quoted in Hebrews 12. My son, despise not the chastening of thy father, for whom the Lord loveth, him he chastens. If you're not chastened, you're a bastard. You're not a son. You're not a child of God. But see, you've got to acknowledge him. You've got to see him in every conflict. You've got to see him in every chastening. You've got to be aware that he's right there. And he's doing this to make you exercise your faith in him. Every time is a God-given opportunity to be aware, I can trust him to take me through this, and I'm going to glorify him, and I'm going to serve that neighbor, and I'm going to reflect Christ. Despise not the chastening of Jehovah. You're not going to do that unless you be aware that he's the one who brought you the thorn in the flesh. And you can say, Lord, get this thorn out of me. And his answer is going to be, you want something more than just my undeserved love? I love you, and you don't deserve it. But I'm going to keep loving you. And now you want something else? You want the thorn out too? Isn't my love sufficient for you? In all thy ways acknowledge him. Be not afraid then of sudden fear, verse 25, neither the desolation of the wicked when it cometh, for Jehovah shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Trust Jehovah. You've got something. Here comes somebody with another need, with a request. You've got something. Well, would you go away and come back again tomorrow? You got it, and you got it. But wait a minute, I've got this figured out. I need to keep this for something else. Verse 27 and 28. Go, say not to thy neighbor, go and come again tomorrow and I will give. Devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely with thee. Trust Jehovah. And finally, verse 30. Strive not with a man without a cause, if he hath done thee no harm. Envy not the oppressor. Choose none of his ways. Acknowledge Jehovah in all thy ways. See him in your joys. See him in your sorrows. See him in your hurts. Discern and see his presence. What's the fruit? Two. First, when we trust Jehovah and acknowledge him in all our ways and lean not on our own understanding, that's what it means to be wise. Not wise in our own eyes, I got it, but truly wise. Truly wise. Now, remember what's the heart of wisdom. You see, knowledge is not enough to deal with life's problems. We need wisdom. And wisdom is the ability to handle everything in life with skill. But what's the heart of wisdom? Chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of Jehovah. The heart of wisdom is the fear of Jehovah. And now remember what that is. It's being correct in your knowledge of Him, and you're always striving to get to know Him better and better and better. You know Jehovah. Second, you're aware of His presence. A pervasive awareness of His presence to hold you, to care for you, to love you. Because that knowledge that you have of Him is the knowledge of His relationship with you and all those attributes that He has infinitely, perfectly, and eternally. And He loves even me. That's wisdom. Wisdom's ways, verse 17, are pleasantness. Her paths are peace. She is a tree of life. What the tree of life was to Adam and Eve in the garden, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is everyone who keeps a grip on the tree of wisdom. Just think of the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, and by understanding hath He established the heavens. You by wisdom can be kept in peace. Real deep inner peace. So first fruit is wisdom. The ability to know how to respond to all the things of life in a way that gives glory to God. The second fruit expressed in our text is this assurance. He shall direct thy paths. When we acknowledge Him in all of our ways, all the different circumstances of life, everything of life, then we're going to be assured that He's directing our path. In Isaiah 40, he describes that activity of directing our paths. Because the word direct is in its root meaning this, to make straight or smooth, to make agreeable. Every valley, every low spot shall be exalted, and every high hurdle, every mountain shall be made low, and everything that seems so crooked shall be made straight, and all the rough places smooth. He doesn't take the thorn out. He doesn't always remove the problems. He doesn't pluck us out. The way of escape is not that He takes us out of the problem. Whether it's 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13 or Psalm 55, 22, this is what He does. Your awareness of His relationship with you give strength to your legs and your back to handle the burden. Cast thy burdens upon Jehovah, for He shall sustain thee. He will not suffer you that he declares to be righteous to be moved, because you know his steady hand. You know his unchangeable relationship. You know how much he cares, and you're going to trust him. Heart, yes. Especially when it comes from those that are in authority over us. And we challenge why they are doing it. And we're wondering why they require that. And why they lay that on us. God says, trust me. Trust me. I will make straight your way. And the big picture is this. I will direct your path. It's not I will in the sense tomorrow, but it's the realization that God has an end. So you see, a path is a way to something. And he is showing to all of us who are his elected ones, chosen ones, children of his, that the end of the path is glory. It's home. And death isn't just an end of all my problems, but all the struggles that we have in this life are the hand of the Lord working to shape and mold us for a place, my place, the place he's ordained for me to fit as a jewel in his crown and on his robe, to bedeck him. This is the way to experience that he is directing us to his glory, victory in Jesus, and for our good, conformity to Christ. Let me say it again. He will direct our paths means that that's the way we experience. Trusting him, we experience that he is directing us for his glory. And his glory is victory in Jesus. Sing it. And for our good, conformity to Jesus. He's making you look more and more like him when you respond and think and speak the way he would. Amen. Our Father has thy children adopted, privileged. Privilege to have that most wonderful identifying name, a child of the King, a child of God, a child of Jehovah. We stand now before thee so grateful, but we covet thy blessing that we may see thee, discern thee in everything of life. And see why from thy word that thou art worthy of our trust. Then may we be assured in the way of exercising our heart and our mind and our soul and our strength to relying upon thee that thou wilt meet our every need. Thou wilt keep us in safety. Even if we should die before we wake, thou wilt keep us. We have victory in Jesus. We are being molded and shaped to be conformed to the image of thy beloved Son. Nothing is better. Thanks be to thee. Amen.